This is CliffCentral.com.
We now go into the finance. That is how we do things here. We do things in order. So here she is. It's Anthea. Good morning, Anthea. How are you today?
Good morning, Ben. I'm well, thanks. We're back to the original, are we?
Well, you mix it up. I think Monday's the original day.
Oh, is that what
you
it
know,
is?
Because you're coming to the studio, so I can't spoil you with too many Latino crooners singing your song. So we're back to the original.
Not too much serenading.
It's a very depressing music video. But literally, it's just a woman scrubbing the floor. She's on her hands and knees going, ugh, and she's coughing. She's got a really depressing duck on her head.
Oh, wow. Now everyone's going to have that image of me.
And then at night. So she's got a job in the daytime, right? Give me a moment here. She's got a job in the daytime scrubbing floors. And then at night, she's at a diner.
What, waitressing?
Yeah. Life, this
poor thing. She did work hard for her money.
I don't think that's the image people will have of you, Anthea. I mean, no. You know, when we think of you, we think of beach houses in the south of France.
Oh, right.
Hardly scrubbing floors with a duke in your hair.
It gets so bad to work, guys. It gets so bad to work. She puts the duke on again, and now she's at a sewing machine.
This poor woman.
She's working hard. She's working hard.
She doesn't get a chance. Now she's walking home with a truck. Oh, this is just too sad. Anyway, Anthea, back to you.
Oh, please, can we move on? The markets.
Nothing in the finance can be more depressing than this music video.
Okay, well, at least the markets aren't too depressing today.
Very good.
Right, so on Friday we closed higher, about 30 basis points, but for the week we were 3.3% up. We're very close to the JSE all-time high. Now, I know this is all very exciting, but I must say this is when I get nervous, because now all of a sudden we're looking at something called market dislocation. In other words, you've got a stock market which is rallying and you've got an economy which is falling. And there's a problem with that, right? So what does that mean? I guess it could mean a couple of things. So one of the things it could mean is that the stocks or shares are too high and that they should come down, one, or that the economy will catch up with where we're predicting these stocks and shares to go. And that's it, very simplistically. I mean, the one thing we have to remember in South Africa, though, is that we have a lot of offshore companies that generate revenue offshore. So, in fact, the top 40 is 70% of its revenues generated offshore. The market overall is about 55, 56%, I think. So, you know, we kind of take that into account when we decide where we want to be in the market. I do think the market looks a bit expensive, even though, you know, we do have a lot of offshore revenue. So I would say, and I'm beginning to sound like a stuck record here, I would say you've got to be in stocks with strong fundamentals and with offshore exposure, because I don't think this rand is going to strengthen hugely. So we're talking Mediclinic, Steinhoff, Naspers. Actually, we need to talk about Naspers.
Okay, but before we get into that, so would all stock exchange kind of be made up of that? All the companies listed, you can get a nice varied share offering as such.
Yeah.
None of them are completely locally based or invested like that. So you wouldn't get the FTSE just London or the CAC is just French stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I know of any exchanges that are just pure local. And there are. So some of the African exchanges, they don't really have shares that are listed offshore or generate revenue offshore. A lot of the emerging markets tend to be kind of like our economies, where they're resource-based, like Brazil, for example. It does depend on offshore revenue as well.
Okay.
No, I can't. I suppose China would be the only one.
China, yeah.
Exactly. There you go, yeah. And talk about China, Naspers, high stock market. So Naspers on Friday closed at 2,270 rand a share. This is an all-time high. And the question here is, what do we do, right? So, you know, we hold Naspers. And yep. I like it, generally speaking. But if the share gets that high, this is almost a good opportunity to sell the share and take some profits. Because in my opinion, what's going to happen is that the share will have a pullback. So it's got results in June. Tencent reported a week or two ago. And so I've relooked at the numbers, kind of priced in the 10 cent numbers. And I think this potentially is a share that is going to trade higher. And maybe by 2018, it'll be a 3,000 rand a share.
Wow.
Just keeps going. So Ben, there's a couple of things. So first of all, the 10 cent stake is really what's driving Naspers at the moment.
Sure.
And I don't think that they're going to spin 10 cent out of Naspers. They're unlikely to do that. The classified platforms, so the OLX and Avito and Schibsted, they're all doing very well. And in fact, they're coming in ahead of expectations. So we should see that driving the share a bit higher. There's a couple of concerns. One of them is that pay TV in South Africa may not perform as well as we expect. So, and for that, you know, I think you've got Showmax and what's the other one?
Netflix.
Right. in South Africa. And I'm suspecting that could eat into kind of the free cash flow for Naspers. So the risks there are quite high. You've also got the risk of emerging market currencies. And in fact, Naspers now has just under $200 million trapped in inverted commas in cash in Africa, which they can't get out. Now, I know this sounds strange, but actually Tiger Brands last week said the same thing, that in Mozambique and Nigeria, they did not get paid completely for at the beginning of this year because those two countries couldn't access foreign currency. So there's just not enough dollars in the country for them to buy dollars with kind of either their Nigerian Naira or the Mozambican Metacom, whatever it is. So they couldn't pay the holding company, which they have to do in dollars. So that could be an issue for Naspers as well. So, you know, there's a couple of things that we look at. And because I think this pay TV or these pay TV numbers might be a bit bad, you'll see the share come down at the June results. And that could well be an issue for them. I heard an interesting advert for DSTV subscription the other day where they said they were going to keep the subscription the same for the next 24 months. So they're obviously trying to encourage subscribers.
They better bloody do so.
To say, because the last time you heard, they increased it by quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
It was over 100 rand increase.
It was in the back of obviously the rand dollar and getting the shows from America, and they were saying that's very expensive.
And I think that potentially could have hurt their subscriber base.
Yeah, I think so.
So maybe that's why they've suddenly put out this ad saying, well, don't worry, we'll keep it the same for the next 24 months. Just ensure that their subscribers stay with them.
But they're also pushing that thing like pay all your subscriptions now, never get another increase, that kind of stuff. So that you pay up front.
Oh.
Yeah, there was all kinds of options. Suddenly you see them not just like flogging decoders, they're now flogging like payment options and plans.
So you see, that's a clue. That's definitely a clue that in June results, their subscriber numbers are probably going to be disappointing. They're trying very hard.
Yeah, definitely. But just on that thing, like, so the temptation, as you say, Naspers is so high. You hold something like this, temptation to take some profits now. But then you think, like, you're onto a good wicket here. If you've got the shares, holding onto them, probably the more potential call going to the line. Because I mean, the whole thing is, it's not a quick game, the stocks and shares thing.
Okay, so there are two ways of looking at it. You can look at it as an investor, or you can look at it as being a trader.
Right.
And there's very different views. So I'm very much an investor. I don't have time to be trading these shares kind of from day to week and whatever. But I do know quite a few people who would do that. So they would hold the share in their portfolio. When it hits this high, because we know it's going to come back and it's going to have a retracement, you sell it, you take some profits, and then it comes lower, you buy it again, and then hold it through. So you've made yourself an extra 10%, basically, depending on your trading costs.
Or if you've got something that you really want to get into and you need some capital.
There you go. Exactly. You can utilize that. You monetize your profits.
Okay. Now, just on the banks, Roscoe, who likes to message during your feature because he's very clued up, his message says, did Anthea see the Moody's rating for Cape Town? If we go junk status, Cape Town will be better off than the rest of the country. What on earth is he talking about here?
What on earth is he talking about?
Roscoe, I had so much faith in you, but now your question makes no sense to any of us.
On Cape Town, have Moody's decided to rate a city within a country?
This is all news to me. I really thought he someone would know what he's talking about.
Roscoe, obviously you need to bring us more information because Roscoe, we all seem to be confused here.
Roscoe, are you Cape Townian and do you believe it's another country? I agree with you.
Do you live in the Republic of Cape Town, Roscoe?
It is separate to the rest of this country.
It is, yeah.
I tell you what Moody's did do on Friday, which was a bit annoying and caught me off guard, was that they downgraded the outlook for South African banks from stable to negative. So the banks index did come down. The banks index was down 2%. Like some of the banks, like Barclays Group Africa, was down 3.6%. Standard Bank was down First Rand. So that's a bit annoying. And they were saying that this, basically for the next 12 to 18 months, they think South African banks are going to come under pressure, mostly because of the deteriorating operating conditions and the fact that banks may lose profitability. They expect to see an increase in bad debts in the banks. So they were saying that non-performing loans will go from a current 3.1% to 4% in the banks. But they did make a point, and this is absolutely spot on, is that our banks are very well capitalized, and so they do actually have a sufficient buffer so that the risks are not as elevated as they could be in, say, a Russia or a Brazil or a Turkey, for example, which is great news, you know. So our banks have always been really well run, and this is just testament to it. So even though they downgraded the banks, it'll be okay, basically, is what they're saying. The issue, of course, for the short term is profitability, lower business opportunities because the consumer's under pressure, higher costs, and then the banks have to put away more money for net for these kind of bad debts, which if they're putting away money just to cover their bad debts, they can't utilize the money to make more money.
Right.
Yeah, so they can't generate money off which is what they should be doing. So their return on equity or their return on cash will be lower.
So this has nothing to do with those Japanese people stealing Standard Bank's money?
No, nothing whatsoever. No, not at all.
Damn those guys.
Yeah, that was very slick, though, right? Of those 100 Japanese people in an hour, 300 million rand.
Yeah, impressive. Also wrong. Not so wrong.
Yeah,
but wrong. Impressive.
Yeah. Damn you clever little criminal bastards.
So many things there, Ben. Tempting, right? Okay, and then what else have we got? Raynet. So Raynet put out a net asset value update. So because Raynet is an investment holding company, and not to be confused with Roynet, by the way. So this is a mistake that people who just come into the market make. Raynet is a company that was spun out of Richemont in 2008. It's Johan Rupert's company. They're mostly invested in British American Tobacco and a couple of other things. The stock code is REI. Roynet, the stock code is RLO, and it's more of a technology ICT company. I'm talking about Raynet, Johan Rupert's company. Mostly they're invested in, as I said, British American Tobacco and a company called Pension Insurance Corporation. And they have to every once in a while give us an update on their net asset value because that's how we value these companies. So it's not based on what they're invested in or the economy, or is eventually the economy, but kind of how well they're doing from an investment point of view. Rather disappointing. Net asset value increased by only 3% this year, which is very disappointing because this is a company that generally has had in the past a 19% per annum increase in NAV, which is phenomenal. I mean, that doesn't happen. And that's on average.
That's the net asset value.
NAV, yeah. NAV, we call it. Yeah. And so now they're on a NAV of $5.2 billion. A couple of cool things about this company. First of all, it's up almost 50% in the last year, from 25 Rand to 35 Rand 50 a share. And then secondly, it's doing a couple of other investments. So it put aside $100 million to invest in a company called SnowFIPS, a U.S. fund investing in private equity in the kind of middle class, middle level. And then another 250 million Rand to kind of grow the business. So they have cash. They have money to spend, and they're looking for good investments. So it's a company I do like. I think going forward it's great. It's another one of those Rand hedge stocks because it trades in euros. And in fact, Johan Rupert did say that one of the reasons the NAV wasn't that great or the growth wasn't that great because of the weakening pound and US dollar against the euro in kind of the last part of the year. So it's not a very exciting company because you're almost depending on somebody else to make the investments for you. So they're not making widgets and selling them or expanding offshore, like none of those cool things.
But it's just, you're just backing a different kind of a horse, really.
Yeah. Well, Brait is very similar to that. Yeah. Brait are just a private equity investment company.
Yeah.
And we like them, and they were up 100% last year.
Yeah, was this good night?
Doubled your money.
And what's happening with Bidvest?
Okay, so
I hear terms like unbundling. That's just what happens that I do with Vodacom stuff. Like I unbundle every month and I got to buy more.
I didn't think of that. Okay, right. Brilliant. No. So Bidvest at their last results presentation announced that they were going to split the business. And that's all it is, Ben. Unbundling. Yeah, I'm afraid so. So they're taking Bidcorp, which is the Bidvest Corporation, and Bidvest Foods, and they're separating the business, and they're having two listed shares. So you'll have Bidcorp and Bidfood, I think it is.
It's another fancy stock term like this, like the lowering tide brings down the ships or something.
Not that I'm aware. Let me see. No, not for this one. No.
The lowering tide splits the ships.
No, Ben. So it's you. Come on. You have to get this right. So a rising tide lifts all boats,
mm-hmm.
and when the tide goes out, you can see who's been swimming without shorts.
Ah. So those finance are the two. People are saucy, huh? Look at that.
Okay, so just on this Bidvest unbundling, when they announced it, I think a lot of people were expecting this to be Brian Joffe's swan song and that he was preparing the business so that he could retire. I don't think so. I think he's going to stay involved very much, which is great. We like Brian Joffe. He really knows what he's doing. He built the business. So that's all good. But the important thing about this is if you were a Bidvest shareholder on Friday, suddenly this morning you'll wake up and realize that there are two shares in your portfolio, one for Bidcorp and one for Bidvest Food Services. So don't panic. I think what will happen is that Bidvest Food Services is probably the better of the two businesses, and you'll see it rally, while Bidcorp might come off a bit this morning.
Okay. Just back to Roscoe, who's now qualified his statement, and he's justifying his actions here. So he says that Moody's announced that the city of Cape Town received a long and short-term global scale rating of Baa2 and Prime Minus 2, respectively, and a long and short-term national scale rating by AAA.za and Prime Minus 1ZA, respectively. This followed a change in the ratings methodology.
You read that terribly, by the way.
Did I? How are you trying to say I didn't have my glasses today? Anyway, Roscoe, look, this is legit. Roscoe even connects. He sends a link.
I think I know what he's talking about.
He sends a link and, yeah.
Okay, so what these rating agencies do is that they rate various things. So they give you an overall country rating. They give you individual company ratings. They rate your long-term and short-term credit. They rate your currency, blah, blah, blah. And so it goes. Like, there's lots involved in this rating. And I see where Roscoe is going with this, is that he's probably talking about municipal debt. So they would rate each piece of paper separately to how they rate everything. Everything needs a rating. So I will not buy debt or commercial paper or negotiable instruments unless I know what the rating is or whether or not it's rated, in fact, even. And so, yes, so they will kind of – everything is rated, but it's very difficult – For a city to have a different rating to the country. I mean, think about it. All municipal bonds. So, the country issues bonds. The city issues bonds. All municipal bonds are backed by the country.
Okay.
So, kind of, yeah, that's very clever, Roscoe. Well done. But you know, it's not going to be any different. So it's the same with the SOEs. So the state-owned enterprises, you will have Transnet will get their own rating. SAA will get its own rating. Sanral will get a rating. But they kind of have to follow the country rating. So they won't really be different. So, okay, the timing of it might be different. So, yes, they might, like they did with the banks. They just downgraded the banks on Friday. Banks generally will follow the country rating as well.
No matter how impressive they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, Roscoe, take that. Anthea, is that pretty much it for your Monday?
Yeah, I think it'll be an interesting day today just to see where the Rand's going, because everyone was watching Janet Yellen. On Friday, she spoke and said that interest rate hikes may be appropriate. In other words, she's giving us a chance to kind of find our feet. The US is closed today, but I think the Rand will come off. In fact, the Rand's 15.78 this morning. It's already come off from where it was on Friday.
Okay, well, something we need to discuss going forward is what would happen if England were to leave the EU and how that would have a currency bearing for the euro. Because there's lots of talk about it at the moment. They're going to have another referendum, I think.
On the 23rd, no?
Boris Johnson's going to use a lot of words and say absolutely nothing, and essentially something will happen. But there's always going to be financial implications in this.
Yeah.
So I think we need to discuss why, just some pros and cons as far as would it be in England's interest to leave the EU, and why are they in the EU anyway?
Sure.
I mean, not obviously just things like you can travel to parties easier and that kind of stuff. Like, you know, what's the trade benefits
important
you get
stuff.
From, yeah, like that kind of stuff. If we can get a little background there, it'd be great.
Okay, will do.
Cool.
All right, Ben, thanks.
All right, I'll catch you tomorrow. Are you going to be with us the whole week?
Indeed I am. Can you believe that? You're shocked.
Fantastic. This is really, really good. Right, so that kind of wraps up the first hour. This is CliffCentral.com.